All right, I'd like to welcome back on MetalHeadRadio.com, Rudy Sarzo. Hey, Rudy, how you doing?
Hey, Rob, what's going on?
Well, you know, we're just rocking out and doing the same old thing we always do, and just playing the best metal out there, and you know, and everything that you guys are in. Tell everybody what's going on with Rudy Sarzo these days.
Okay, there's a lot of stuff that we're going to focus tonight in our conversation on Anti-Metal USA, which is we have our second album that just came out in Japan about 4 weeks ago. And now, also, there's a compilation of the first and the second album called A Special Edition. It's the Anti-Metal USA Special Edition available on Century Media. Because prior to Century Media, our two records were only available in Japan. But now they're available in the United States. You can go to iTunes and download them. And actually around the world through Century Media. So it is very exciting time for Anti-Metal USA. Are you familiar with anime at all?
Yeah, yes, I am, actually, through my kids, actually, but yeah, I am.
Yeah, well, I laugh, it's because, you know, the new generation, you know, our younger generation is actually really in tune to with anime, but in Japan, it's I guess it's because of generations of people being influenced by anime, that it appeals to everybody. As a matter of fact, anime, because, you know, I spend a lot of time there now, especially with Anime USA, and every time you turn on the TV, there's some anime programming going on, especially at late at night, with more adult themes, but in the daytime, it seems to be more geared towards, you know, children, family-oriented, and then as the evening progresses, it's more like, you know, having to do with sci-fi or even some soap type of anime. You know, there's some drama, some conflict going on. So it's basically still art form to convey philosophies and messages in an animated format. It's actually, you know, a lot of the new animation coming out of the national domestic studios like Pixar and Disney and all of that is very much influenced by anime nowadays.
Yeah, I got to say, I've definitely been seeing a lot more anime coming on, and getting back to your prior point, I like the adult anime way a lot better.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of, you know, animes like Ghost in the Shell, Akira. You know, they're very edgy, very, very moody, and it just, you know, in addition to being a musician, I'm a 3D animator, too, so I'm really, I just look at it and study it and see how they do things. As a matter of fact, when we were in Japan, touring back in June, Sony, the president of Sony, asked me, what do you want to do on your day off? And I said, I would love to go to an animation production house. And so he just made one phone call and arranged it. We went to the biggest one there called A1 Productions. And they showed us around, and they showed us how they do it, the pipeline, because a lot of the anime is not just 2D or 3D. It's a composite of both. So they have, like, people drawing by hand doing certain characters, and then, like, the hero characters, you know, like the robots and the monsters and all of that, they're usually 3D animated because they're going to have more action. They're more action-oriented characters. So, you know, then they put it all together in a composite, and it just comes out, you know, as this really visually spectacular, you know, graphics. Yeah, it's an incredible process.
Now, who else besides yourself is in the compilation of all this?
Oh, yes. Yes. Actually, let me give you a little background how the whole thing started. Anti-Metal USA, basically, our singer, Mike DeSera, used to be in what I consider the most popular Japanese, global Japanese successful band, Loudness. He was in the band, and he lived in Japan for about 3 years. And while he was there, he became a big fan of anime. So about a year and a half ago, he got together with our label, and in Japan, Sony Music, and brought up the idea of resurrecting a concept that actually was done 20 years ago, which is Anti-Metal. That's why we call Anti-Metal USA, to differentiate from the Japanese version of Anti-Metal. And the record company thought it was a great idea, but this time they aimed more at the possible global market, because right now anime is so successful and embraced around the world, not just Japan. So they thought, you know, this is the perfect time to actually put together an anime-based band, but this time let's do it with more musicians who are actually known around, you know, the world, you know, because they've been in other bands, like Mike DeSera, you know, with Darkness and also with Inbe. He was a member of Inbe Malmsteen's band and his own band Obsession. In my case, you know, I play with Ozzy and Claire Wright, Whitesnake Deal. So, and also the fact that I'm a 3D animator. So I was asked to join the band, and as soon as they called me and they told me what it was all about, I said, oh yeah, I'm in. No question about it. And then they asked our guitar player, Chris Impellitteri, who is incredibly successful with his own band, Impellitteri, not only in Japan but around the world. And he's just phenomenal guitar player. I mean, once you listen to a record, I mean, if you're familiar with Impellitteri's work, you know, he just does what he does to the next level in Animal USA. You know, and then on the first album, we had Scott Travis from Judas Priest perform on it. But he's so busy touring with Judas Priest that by the time we had to go out and tour, he was not available. So our current drummer, is John Getty, who's also been a member of Slayer and Testament. And he's just a phenomenal drummer. So it's an incredible band, you know. And that's how basically the band got together. And John Getty does play drums on the whole second album. So, yeah, there you have it in a nutshell. That's Animal USA.
Wow, man, it sounds like a lot of people are getting in on the collaboration of all that, and it sounds like it's really taking off in Japan. Do you see it taking off just as much in the U.S. right now?
Yeah, you know, right after we did our Japan tour, back in June, we came back to the States, and in late June, we performed for the first time outside of Japan at Anime Expo in downtown L.A. at the convention center. And just like, you know, there were about over 75,000 people in attendance, and it was just phenomenal, just phenomenal, you know. And I had never attended an anime expo before, and I was really, really impressed by the fact that all walks of life, you know, families, all backgrounds, cultures, they embrace anime, they love it, you know. So they come, you know, like the parents and the kids, they'll come up dressed, you know, and the favorite character of anime, and it's just a very healthy, family-oriented, you know, event.
Now, them being into anime and all that, do they have enough crossover to know who you guys are with the metal genre of the community to know what's going on with, you know, why you guys are doing all this?
You know, that's an interesting question. You know, yeah, I would say most of the anime fans are also metal fans. But you'll be surprised, there'll be some anime fans who are not necessarily that versed in the world of metal, you know. But one of the things that really impacted us, you know, emotionally, was that when we released our first album in Japan, we were immediately embraced by the anime community. Not only the artists, you know, that create all the videos, you know, the visuals, the series, but also the musicians, the anime performers, you know, they're the ones who sing all the theme songs, perform on all the, you know, the whole soundtrack over the anime. They really embraced us, and basically they gave us the mission of becoming ambassadors of anime to the rest of the world, especially to the metal community, because, you know, there's so much in common between anime and metal. You know, anime is all about the fantastic, the no limits to your imagination, you know, art form. So it's metal. Metal is, you know, it could be about anything. I mean, if you look at all the metal bands, you look at Motorhead, you look at Slayer, you look at Megadeth, you look at Ozzy, you know, they're all very different bands. But it's all about no limitation to your imagination. You know, to me, metal is the musical form that really pushes the boundaries. It never stops pushing the boundaries.
Absolutely, and I know that's correct. Just you saying that, I was getting visions of a song that the band Korn did, and they did a video, and it had some anime cartoon-type stuff in it. And so, yeah, I guess there is no boundaries between anime and heavy metal.
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, as a matter of fact, it works together so well. It really does. I mean, as a matter of fact, I've been watching even more anime than I've had before, just because I'm part of that world now. and I really want to embrace it as much as I can. And I got to tell you, I mean, if you watch like anything like Ghost in the Shell or Akira, I mean, you're going to get it's a lot of food for thought. You know, I mean, they have a certain way of basically putting into very straightforward with visual what could happen to our planet if we don't take better care of it. You know, so, you know, if yeah. So, you know, if you watch Ghost in the Shell or if you watch, you know, Akira, you get a really good idea.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. They have conventions with anime at different places, correct?
Yes. As a matter of fact, there's like over 50 or 60 anime conventions all over the world every single year. We just had the one in L.A., like I mentioned before, late June. And then there's one coming up in New York in October. There's another one in Maryland in November. And it's just the U.S. Around the world, you know, South America, Europe, there's anime conventions all over the place. You know, it's phenomenal. And also, I'm beginning to find, because, you know, a lot of the anime fans are contacting me through Twitter and Facebook, that there happens to be anime clubs in schools and universities.
Nice, very nice. I mean, so it sounds like it's all coming along. Now, I know with all the schedules, you know, people in bands, what they got going on, and the anime touring that's going on, are you guys in the metal community ever at the anime conventions, or are you, like, sometimes or not whatever, or not at all?
Well, my first one was the one that we played at the convention center, and we hope to be able to attend many, many more. As a matter of fact, we're planning tour dates based around these anime conventions. So, yes, we're looking forward to being, you know, again, being more of a part of the anime community by actually being there and showing up and participating.
Well, that's good. The question was, I know it's hard with conflicting schedules with bands or whatever. And speaking of which, what are you doing musically right now?
I'm doing a whole bunch of stuff. Especially, there's one band that we're about to make a release. You know, who the label is and everything. There's going to be a press release coming out very soon. The band is called Tred, T-R-E-D, and it's Mike Orlando from Adrenaline Mob and AJ Perot from Twisted Sister and Dan Nelson, who was in Anthrax, and myself.
Nice.
And it's very modern, very tribal, funk, metal. You know, it's probably the heaviest thing I've ever done. You know, it's a bit different than any metal, because even though any metal is speed metal, still it's very melodic. Because what we do is, you know, we take anime theme songs, which are just a lot of them are very, very melodic. So that is, to me, it's one of the most appealing things about Any Metal USA. The fact that you have really fast, you know, 160, 180, you know, beats per minute speed metal, and then on top of it, you have these very melodic vocal lines and harmonies and you know, and even the lyrical content, you know, which is different from what we do with Tred. With Tred, it's more heavy, heavy lyrically and vocally. You know, it's more of that modern heavy metal music.
Wow, I can't wait to hear that. That's going to be very interesting, just because of the lineup with you in it that you just said.
Yeah, I mean, it's a spectacular. Both bands are just incredible. You know, and they're very different. They're very different. You know, it's my yin and my yang, you know, Any Metal USA and Tred, you know. Since we're here to talk about Any Metal USA, which we go keep going in that path.
Excellent. Now, what's the actual website for that so people can check it out?
Any Metal USA, it would be animetalusa.com. And then if you happen to speak Japanese, there's the Any Metal USA Japan and Sony Music, Any Metal USA Sony Music in Japan. Also, Century Media. You can go in and do a search and find Any Metal USA and actually purchase our CD, or even go to iTunes and download it. And we even have merchandise. We have Any Metal USA shirts available. on Century Media, and also there's Facebook and Twitter and a whole lot.
Nice, very nice. So everybody who's listening, you know where to go, you know what you can check out, and you know what kind of swag you can get.
That's right. And it has our superhero characters in the swag, which is something that I've always wanted. I always wanted to be a superhero. And here's a wear shirt with me as a superhero. And my wife loves it.
Well, I'll tell you what, brother, whether you know it or not, you are a bass player superhero deluxe.
You're way too kind, Rob. Way too kind.
No, I'm not even extra kind, dude. You need a cape with a big RS on there and just throw that shit around and just fucking fly.
Well, that's funny.
Hey, now, I'm going to a younger crowd here with this question here. Could you please tell everybody, Rudy Sarzo, what bands have you been in? And, oh, my God, once they hear this, they're going to go, no shit.
Let's see. How far back do you want? Do you want to go to, like, as far back as maybe their parents watching the band?
Actually, I would like to go back to what their grandparents first heard them tell. They said, don't listen to this band.
Yeah, the grandparents. Okay, I used to play with Glenn Miller and Buddy Rich. I'm only kidding. Let's see. Well, actually, the whole thing got started for me once I actually arrived in L.A., in Los Angeles, back in the late 70s, and I started playing with Quiet Riot, the Randy Rhoads version of Quiet Riot. Even though we were never signed to a record deal domestically, actually, that led to me, actually joining Ozzy, because when Randy left Quiet Riot in late 79, he joined Ozzy, and they went out and recorded Blizzard of Oz and Diary of a Madman. Then when they came to America to tour for the first time for Blizzard of Oz, they were looking for a bass player, and Randy told Ozzy and Sharon, hey, you should check out Rudy, he's the guy. So under his recommendation, I got the gig. I 30 years ago, I was a member of Ozzy Osbourne. Then I went on to play with Quiet Riot for the Metal Health version of the band. And then after that, I joined Whitesnake in 87 and did all the touring, Slip of the Tongue album, and so on. Then I went back with Quiet Riot again in 97 until 2003. Briefly toured with Yngwie Malmsteen on the Attack USA tour, and immediately joined Dio, which I was a member from 2004 until when Ronnie passed. And then, meanwhile, when Ronnie was playing with Heaven and Hell, I would go out on tour with Boris Akolf. And recently, I've been also doing some shows with Dio Disciples, which is a band it's Tim Ripper Owens, and usually we have another singer. It's been Toby Jepsen up until lately. And so we have two vocalists, and it's the Dio band. It's Simon Wright, Craig Aldie, Scott Waring, and myself. And when I cannot make it, James Lomenzo is the bass player, and we go out there and celebrate Ronnie's music, his friendship and his music with all the fans. So in addition to that, Boris Cold, I was doing Dio Disciples, and then Annie Metal USA, and this other band, Tread. So, and in addition to that, the Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp. So, yeah, I try to keep it busy.
Yeah, I'd have to say, at the very least, you've been keeping very damn busy.
Yeah, but, very fulfilled, because, I'm able to do what I love. It's all about the music. It's all about telling the stories and playing with some of the most outstanding musicians, people that I'm a fan of, there's nothing better than being in a band that you really, really love. The not only the friendship, the company up, but also the musical skill of the individual, because that's only going to inspire you to be a better musician.
Now, because you've played in so many bands and you're doing this now, you're sort of kind of available, maybe not, I'm not sure, but are a lot of bands hitting you up right now to play with them?
It all depends. What kind of a band is it? I mean, if Led Zeppelin calls me up, I'm definitely gonna think about it.
Yes.
I mean, specifically, what I mean, because another thing that I do is I do tracks. People will contact me on the internet. And as a matter of fact, last year I did five albums, five full records, two heavy metal, one the Tread record that I was telling you about. I played on Dee Snider's Dee Does Broadway album. I did the whole record. All the electric bass was me. And then I also performed did a whole album for this singer in Scandinavia, Mike Ferrato. I played on the whole record, and we never even met personally. They just sent me the tracks, and I recorded them in my studio. Then I sent them back out. So I do things like that. I know, and of course, they have to be a certain quality to the project, to the music. Of course, in the case of Dee Snider, of course, it's going to be quality. But in Mike Ferrato's, I mean, I when he contacted me, I had no idea what it was going to be like. Then he sent me some samples of their recordings, and I said, yeah, I would love to do it. And I did. So, yes, I am very much open to contributing to other artists' recordings.
Now I'm going to put you on the spot here a little bit, because you are a premier bass player, no matter who wants to hire you. You can do anything anybody wants you to do. What would be the most badass band you would like to play in?
Well, I think I'm in both of those bands right now. I think Any Metal USA is incredibly badass, and so is Tread. So, like I said, it's my yin and my yang. I'm doing it.
But I mean, of course you are, no doubt about it. But I mean, as a kid growing up, what was like your most favorite bands that you go, you know what, I'd like to play in that band?
Oh my God, there's so many. Oh man.
Put you on the spot.
but you know what? That is such a good question, because I'll tell you my honest answer. There's so many great bands that I feel that if one individual, let's say if the bass player leaves, it's the same band. It's not the same band. There's so many bands out there that I really admire that I would not like to see a different bass player, including myself, in it, even though I would love to be in the band. And that's an honest answer.
Well, you know what? That's a good answer, and that makes you a humble person. And like I was saying before this interview, I was telling everybody, I've interviewed you a couple times before, and Rudy is the most sincere guy I've ever fucking talked to before.
Yeah, because, I always say this. I've been a fan of metal, of rock, longer than I've been a professional musician. So there's always that fan side about me that always comes out, And when it comes to be about other bands that I'm really a fan of, oh, yeah. I like to keep it the way that I'm a fan of, not me putting myself in there, because, no.
Now, I'd like to go a little bit back in time, if we may. You wrote a book about Ozzy and Randy and all that. Could you tell us a little bit about that so people know where they can get that book at?
Yeah. The Amazon is like the best place to get it, or even my website, RudySarza.com, and it goes directly to the publisher. That is not really a website that I run. It's actually the publisher of the book. So they can place the order, and they're not placing it with me. It's not like I'm sitting at home putting books in an envelope and shipping them out. No, it's actually the publisher of the book gets the order directly from the website. The book is called Off the Rails, and I wrote it to answer the number one question I get asked as I travel around the world, which is, what was it like to play with Randy Rhoads? That was my single motivation for writing the book. That was it. Nothing else. Just to answer that question. And because, usually, let's say, I would run into somebody in the lobby of a hotel, and we start talking, and say, hey, what was it like playing with Randy Rhoads? I say, well, I spend like 5 or 10 minutes talking with him, and telling them a few stories, and then I walk away and I go, oh man, I should have told them about this and that and the other thing. And so I figure, you know what, let me just share with everybody who's interested what it was like. That's it. Put in a book. And and one thing that I got out of it, my biggest reward was, even before it was in print, which was actually getting closer about losing Randy, you know, in the plane crash. Because, you know, that's something that all of us, you know, we've been carrying, you know, everybody who was involved with the Ozzy Osbourne Band all these years, you know. I mean, it changed our lives. It changed everybody's lives. You know, we've never been the same. So to be able to sit there and I thought the hardest chapter to write was going to be the chapter about the crash, but actually there was all these emotions pent up inside of me that by the time that I got to that chapter, it just poured out. The one that took the longest to write was the chapter previous to that, because Randy was, you know, it took me a while. It took me about a year and a half to finish the whole thing. And while I was writing about him being alive, he was alive in my head. It was like hanging out again. Hey, there he is. You know, he's in my head. And then once I had to, like, you know, that's it. He was going to die in the next chapter because here comes the crash. That took me about a month to write until I got a call from the publisher and said, listen, man, you got to get this. You know, you have a deadline. So they're okay. So I sat down and, oh, my God, everything just poured out. Everything just like, phew. And then it was just a matter of finishing the book, you know, with the next chapters. Because I didn't want it to end with the crash. I wanted to really, really explain the impact that the crash had on everybody, and that the reason we carried on and we finished the tour was basically to keep Ozzy from going home and drinking himself to death. It was just a matter of just, you know, we have to keep him moving, keep him occupied, keep him alive, you know. So, you know, but nevertheless, you know, every time you got up on stage, it was brutal, man. You know, there you are on stage, and it's the same stage, you know, with the castle and the dwarves running around, and you're wearing the same clothes, and lights come down, and first thing you hear is the intro to Diary of the Madman. This is Randy playing, and then you have to hit the stage and dig in deep inside it. And doing the performance that you were expected to do, and boy, I mean, for me, it was tough. Imagine Ozzy that had to sing every night. I don't even know how he did it, but he did it. You know, you just have to dig it deep inside and just, you know, do it. But it was tough.
Well, you guys are really troopers, because I remember when Ronnie James passed away too, and you did an interview with me the day after, and I mean, I was shocked that you even called me. I mean, I seriously was. And we kind of touched on that a little bit, and because neither one of us really wanted to talk about that, but it happened. And, you know, I can't imagine you guys going on stage, like you just say, doing that, you know, like months on end after something tragic like that happens. That's crazy.
That is crazy. You know, with Ronnie was a bit different. Of course, you know, the passing of a friend, a bandmate, it's always incredibly, you know, you never really get over it, you know. You just learn how to deal with it. Basically, that's the best you can do. Just learn how to deal with it. It's never going to be the same. Don't even try to make it the same, because it ain't going to be the same. You just learn how to live with it. But I got to tell you, it was a bit different with Ronnie. Even though, you know, we all hopeful, we all prayed that he was going to get better, and he was. And then all of a sudden, he had a turn for the worse, you know, from the therapy, and he died within. You know, I went to visit him at the hospital, on May 16, he left us. You know, but you kind of like, you know, you saw the process. With Randy, what was different was that one day there he was, and the next minute he wasn't. You know, and it was kind of like, you know, it was the crash was a sudden impact. Whereas when Ronnie was diagnosed with cancer, you kind of like, okay, it's going to get better. Let's all pray for it. So it's a process. It's a process, and you're praying and you're hoping. And then one day you get, you know, you see him and he looks great. You know, I saw him at the Golden Gods Award, you know, and then he looks fantastic. And you're talking to him and he's great. And we're talking about making new music and doing, you know, Magica 2 and 3 and him going back out with Heaven and Hell. And, you know, it's all in the up and up. And then you get that phone call, you know, I got it from Simon Wright. Says, Ruth, you better come down to the hospital. He might not make it until tomorrow. You know, so it's a different process with Ronnie. Of course, you know, the impact remains the same of his passing. But with Randy, it was like, the last time I saw him, And I wrote this about, this is how I opened the book. It was the last time I saw him. I was in my bunk. We were parked at the place where the airplane took off from. Our bus was parked, and I'm in my bunk, and he calls me out and says, "Ray, hey, come on, Roots, you want to come out on this plane?" And it's like, "Yeah, what time is it?" It's like, "Oh, it's, you know, about 8 o'clock in the morning, whatever." And I go, "No, no, that's right. I'm just going to wait until we get to the hotel. I'm going to get out of bed and lay by the pool." You know, that was the last time I saw him. You know, he was standing on the door, stepping out of the bus. And I shut my curtains and went back to sleep, and I woke up with the plane hitting the bus. The plane clipped the bus. You know, so that's it. That was the last time I saw him. After that, it was all chaos. It was like just trying to make sense of all this crazy stuff that you, first of all, you don't want to believe. Second of all, you can't believe. Third of all, it is happening. So it's like, oh my God. So, you know, it's, nevertheless, you know, a loss is a loss. But with Randy, it was under such strange circumstances, you know.
All right, well, I thank you for that answer, actually, and I know that was kind of hard to rehash there, and I was kind of even reluctant to ask about it, but, you know, I know everybody wanted to know what your take was on all that.
You mean what was the question again?
With Randy and Dio, I said I hated to ask those questions, but, you know, I know a lot of people wanted to know what your take was on all that.
My take? Well, you know, with Randy, with the plane crash, and I mean, there's way more to it than just a plane crash. I mean, I really don't want to go into it about it right now, but, you know, the best way that I could do it was just put it in the book in a sensible manner, explaining it, you know, and showing documents from the autopsy and whatever, you know. So, you know, everything that I wrote about, it's you know, it's information that you can actually research and find it on the internet. Whereas with Ronnie, you know, he had stomach cancer, and unfortunately, you know, the therapy did not work, and he passed away. I mean, and like that, you know, to reiterate, both passings are painful, but it's very different when you know that somebody is ill and might not make it than somebody who, one minute it's there and the other minute it's not. You know, so it's with, once you're visiting somebody at the hospital knowing that it's not going to make it to the next day, you have some sort of closure. You have closure. You know, you go there, you talk to them, you know, you let them know how much you love them and everything that they mean to you. And you have a sense of closure with a person. Of course, you're going to miss him and you know, for the rest of your life. But what happened with Randy was that there was the crash. Within 10 days, around 10 days of the crash, we were back on the road again. We were rehearsing, auditioning other guitar players and going to services at the same time. You know, taking a break from auditioning just to go to Randy's burial, you know, to his service, you know, to his funeral. And it was like, you know, I was numb. Because I still couldn't believe that this is going on, you know. And then you got to get up on stage and tour. So my closure was actually being able to go back, revisit that, put it on paper. It took me over 20 years for that to happen. Actually, somebody had to invent a laptop so I could actually write it. I could have never written with paper and pen, you know. And I did it. And once I finished and I wrote the end, it was incredible. I got a closure that I did not expect to get when I first sat down to write the book.
Wow, that's insane. And, you know, I really do appreciate you talking to me about this. I know it's a hard thing to talk about, and I really do appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Well, you know, it's always hard, you know, to talk about the people that have such a significant impact in your life, you know, whether they're family members or bandmates. I mean, and to me, they're all one and the same, you know, your band is your family. You're your extended family, you know. So, yeah, it does have that significant emotional impact on you, you know.
All right, well, let's switch gears here a little bit, and let's get on a little lighter side. Rudy Sarzo, yourself, what are you listening to in your iPod player or your CD player right now? What are you into?
That is a good question. Well, right now I'm getting ready to do some shows with Dee Snider. You know, I think I mentioned it previously in the interview that I played on his Dee Does Broadway album, and we're going to be doing a couple of shows around town. We're doing one actually at the Key Club on the 29th. It's Wednesday coming in about a week and a half. I won't have my calendar in front of me, but let's see. It is Wednesday the 29th, yes, at the Key Club.
So of this month.
Then, of this month. And then on the 1st of September, we're doing a show in Las Vegas. And it's Dee, you know, and he's an old friend of mine. As a matter of fact, not only am I playing with AJ Perro and Tread, who is the drummer from Twisted Sister, but also I've performed, you know, I've recorded on Eddie Ojeda's album, solo album, and so, you know, and I did this other Las Vegas show called Monster Circus with Dee. You know, he was our singer. So, you know, we're really good friends, and I think the guy is a tremendous talent. You know, I really enjoy being on stage with him, you know, and recording with him. So basically, I'm listening to a lot of Twisted Sister, a lot of Broadway, you know, and then I'm going to be going to South America and, you know, performing songs from the band that I played with before, you know, Ozzy Quiet Riot, even some Project Driver and Whitesnake and some Dio and stuff like that with national rock, Latin rock band, you know, metal band, you know, national, you know, Argentinian band. Yeah, there's a band called Alacrán, if anybody out there speaks Spanish. It's Alacrán, which means scorpion in Spanish. And we're going to be playing together, and we're going to be doing my music, and we're going to do some of their music, which is something I've always wanted to do. Me being Cuban, you know, the last time that I played with an all Latino band was back in the 70s when I was in the local party band, you know. And it means a lot to me because it's giving back to the Latin community, you know, working with them. There's a lot of outstanding Latino rockers in South America, Brazil, you know, Chile, Uruguay, Mexico, all over South America. And I just want to share with them, you know, being on stage, you know. So I'm listening to a lot of music of the bands that I've been in the past. Lately, just because I got to get ready for those tours. And I listen to a lot of Annie Metal USA, because I love those two records, and a lot of the Tread music, the album that, you know, the album that we're working on right now, that we're finishing. So that's what I'm listening to.
I absolutely love that, because here on MetalHeadRadio.com, we play bands from all over the world, and they're not always in English. I mean, they could be in any language whatsoever. We actually are listening to a couple bands right now from Iran, and they're just fucking rocking. But you yourself, my friend, being from Cuba, do you know of any fucking kick-ass Cuban bands you could tell us about so we can check them out?
Tons. There's an incredible, thriving metal scene in Cuba. That, let me tell you something. If it wasn't because Cuba's still a communist country, I would be there already. I would have been there yesterday, checking them out and helping them out any way I can. Because these guys, you have to understand, you know, when you're in an oppressive totalitarian government, you know, dictatorship, like Cuba and even Iran and all of that, I got to tell you, you're putting your life on the line just by being a rocker. I don't care if you got long hair, short hair, just the fact that you play rock and roll. I mean, that right there is reason for them to either put you in jail or kill you.
Wow.
You know, and this long history with musicians that I meet, friends of mine, who are from Argentina, who went through that back in the 80s, you know, where they had the military government. They told me horrific story of what it was really like to be a rock musician or even have long hair. They used to, like, grab you in the streets, you know, the military, and cut your hair right there on the sidewalk. You know, throw you on the ground and just take out the scissors and go for it.
Damn.
You know, it was tough. I mean, to us, I mean, yeah, we have Flower Power and the hippies and the whatever. You know, I mean, the worst enemy that metal had was disco. You know, that was it, you know.
Yeah.
So these guys are putting their lives on the line, you know, just by playing the music that we all love. You know what I mean? And I'm telling you, the power of music, I can't tell you how emotional it was for me to play Russia for the very first time right after the curtain came down, the Iron Curtain. And we played St. Petersburg. It was the White Night Festival with Whitesnake. And it was a huge, you know, music fest. And I got to tell you, to see grown men holding bootleg copies of Whitesnake and Deep Purple or just any metal band, bring it to us so we could sign them, and they would be crying when we're performing. That is incredibly moving.
Yeah, that's just got to be insane. I mean,
I'm telling you, it puts into perspective what the power of the music that we love and we play is all about.
It is worldwide, my friend. It truly is.
Absolutely. Absolutely worldwide. Absolutely.
Wow, very interesting. Well, I'm about out of questions, and I know that you have a very busy schedule, and I truly do appreciate you calling to Metalhead Radio. Before I let you go, are you cool with making a couple of station tags?
Yeah, of course.
Because, you know, I've had you on here like four times, and I've never asked you, and I don't know why.
Well, it's no better time than now.
All right. What I was thinking of was this is Rudy Sarzo, and you are listening to MetalheadRadio.com. Crank it up.
Okay, hey Headbangers, this is Rudy Sarzo, and you're listening to MetalheadRadio.com.
All right, one more for my own ego. This is Rudy Sarzo, and you are listening to DJ Rob on MetalheadRadio.com.
Hey Headbangers, this is Rudy Sarzo, and you're listening to DJ Rob on MetalheadRadio.com.
Rudy, always a pleasure. Thank you for coming on to Metalhead Radio and covering just about everything that I think we could cover, if you don't agree.
Yeah, I know. Tell me about it. Thank you so much, Rob. Thank you for your support, sir.
Yeah, thank you, too. And I'll be hitting you up again here in a couple of months once we got some new stuff going on. And once again, tell everybody, what is the website for anime?
Yeah, animetalusa.com. And then AnimetalUSA Japan, if you happen to be a Japanese listener, you speak Japanese. Also, there's Facebook, AnimetalUSA Facebook, and Twitter, too.
Most excellent. Rudy, thank you so much for calling in. I really do appreciate it. As always, you're a great interview, and you're a hell of a fucking nice guy.
Well, thank you so much, Rob. Thank you so much, and God bless. And enjoy this beautiful California evening.
Absolutely. And you know what? You too.
Yeah, I will.
All right, have a great weekend, and I will catch up with you soon, my friend.
You too. God bless.
All right, God bless. Bye-bye. Rudy Sarzo on MetalheadRadio.com. Come on, man. Tell me that motherfucker ain't some cool fucking shit. Seriously. I'm going to play some fucking Ozzy, Blue Oyster Cult, and any other damn band he was in. I wrote all the shit down, so let's crank this shit up. Fucking rock on.